Welcome back, children of the revolution, to the audio anthology and educational program series. What you're not listening to here on Ace of Spades, PDX, via Blueberry Podcasting, Google Play, Apple Podcasts. I never get that right. Spotify, download on your Android device or RSS feed. It's still early. Welcome back, everyone. And this is our fourth show for Rocktober. Woohoo! And I'm your host, Eddie Benbear, Ben Brown Jr. And this show, we are looking at Beyond the Grunge. We're looking at the career of Soundgarden. This was a band that came to represent the grunge movement of the early 1990s and then transcended to create a new type of classic rock. It used to totally be a thing, and by and large, it still is to this day. Metal kids don't listen to punk, and punk kids don't listen to metal. Why, yes, it does sound awfully juvenile, much like saying that girls listen to the Beatles and guys like the Stones back in the mid-1960s. However, it seems no one told the young people of the Pacific Northwest about this odd segregation in the 1980s. Here, isolated from the rest of the country geographically and in personality, the kids decided to take something from both these music genres and create a whole new beast that had been over a decade in gestation, grunge. Most associated with the city best known for Boeing and Starbucks, grunge was a branch of the music movement called alternative rock. Alt rock existed in other parts of the U.S., but of course, grunge being something completely unique to the Northwest. It was anti-pop, anti-fashion, and anti-art. A real do-it-yourself vibe with little to no money. Most importantly, have a good time while doing it. It also quickly became a cliche once it left the Pacific Northwest. The true Seattle scene, comprised of bands like Nirvana, Soundgarden, Alice in Chains, Pearl Jam, and Mudhoney, ended when those bands took their new hybrid sound across the map and broke with the alternative genre mainstays of post-punk, goth, new wavy synths, and jangly guitars. Of all these bands, Soundgarden were the first signed to a major label, but they still wished to build indie credibility with releases on Sub Pop, Screaming Life, and SST, Ultra Mega OK. They soon found the narrow descriptions associated with the scene altogether blasé by the early 1990s, when the little scene that could spawn a whole new subculture of cool sound and attitude, a rough-and-tumble design ethic, and a Northwest mainstay thrift store fashion style. Of the latter, that meant right down to purchasing flannel shirts for outrageous prices at your local mall. After several years of steadily building their audience through touring and new releases on A&M Records, Louder Than Love and Bad Motorfinger, the band had released what is now considered a bona fide all-time classic rock album, Super Unknown, in 1994, which also hit the pole position on the Billboard 200 LPs chart in its first week. The Cracks were forming, however, and by the time of their next release in 1996, Blow Up the Outside World, Soundgarden called it a day. Members would form other bands, start solo careers, and all the other trajectories such a breakup usually entails. They did, however, regroup and release one more album of new material, 2012's King Animal. The reunion would be short-lived. Chris Cornell, who often spoke of depression, death, choking, and rope in his songs, died from suicide by hanging in 2017. Along the way, even with helping to develop a brand new musical trend, Soundgarden seemingly did the impossible. Yes, there are some radio hits, but their albums of the era stand up to the best of any major popular act in history, a testament to the mastercraft and unity the group put into everything they did. They helped create a new type of classic rock that eventually found an audience on mainstream broadcast media, which, believe me, when all this was going on in the late 80s, those things would never even considered or thought of. Of all the nominees for this year's Rock and Roll Hall of Fame 2020 induction, little to no noise has been made against the band's nod, signaling that once in a while, the people who make this happen in Cleveland actually hit on something that needs no debate about the inclusion. It truly can't get much better or on point than Soundgarden. And just letting you all know now, there's at least one track in this show it contains language that some may find objectionable. It was meant in complete humor, and we'll discuss that near the end of the show. But this is your chance to opt out if this is not your thing. But we're going to be kicking it all off with their debut full-length album on SST Records, a record label based in my hometown of Los Angeles, most commonly associated with Black Flag. This is from 1988's Ultra Mega OK and All Your Lies, and we'll see you in about 30 minutes.
Yeah. nothing old since you said it.
Quench yourself and drink the water that flows below her head. Oh, no. There she goes, out in the sunshine. Sun is mine. Sun is mine.
Welcome back, children of the revolution, to what you're not listening to, the audio anthology and educational program series here in Ace of Spades PDX. And I'm your host, Ben Brown Jr., Daddy Ben Bear, and our fourth show for Rocktober, woohoo, featuring recent nominees for the 2020 induction to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Soundgarden. Oh, yes. And let's recap what we've heard in the first part of our show, shall we? Kicking it all off was from 1988's Ultra Mega OK, All Your Lies. After that was Birth Ritual from the single soundtrack from 92. Following that was from their last album during their initial run from 1996's Blow Up the Outside World, Burden in My Hand. Drawing Flies from Bad Motorfinger from 1991, a truly underrated album. After that was from the Screaming Life EP on Sub Pop, 1987's Little Joe. And after that was from their last studio album, King Animal from 2012, Terry, which is actually a neighborhood in the Kingston area of Seattle and one of the most praised songs on the album by critics. And we're going to be getting into the second part of our show here, and we're just kicking it off again for another track from Ultra Mega OK, which was recently re-released with a brand new kind of mix on it, and it does sound kind of muddy a little bit. That's kind of part of its charm, though. From 1988, this is Head Injury, and we will see you just before the grand finale.
My head.
my God. Welcome back, Children of the Revolution, to What You're Not Listening To on Ace of Spades PDX and our special tribute show to Soundgarden, who were recently nominated for the 2020 ballot. Did I say ballot or ballot? I can't remember. For the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And, my God, that song. And, let's recap what we've heard in the second part of our show, shall we? Kicked it all off with Head Injury from 1988's Ultra Mega OK. Spoon Nan from 1984's Super Unknown follows that. From the album Louder Than Love from 1989, Gun, with its unusual time signatures. That whole album is full of them. It's amazing. Fell on Black Days, again, from 1994, Super Unknown follows that. The Jesus Christ Pros from 1991's Bad Motorfinger, with a video that was banned by MTV. Go, guys. And the song we just heard from Louder Than Love, 1989. A lot of these songs have been really, really heavy, right? A lot of people miss the humor in Soundgarden, and that was very intentional with this song, Big Dumb Sex. You had to be there, Children of the Revolution. What started off as a really wonderful, kind of amazing thing, was kind of this pop, glam metal energy kind of thing, became really, really diluted and stupid by the end of the decade, and the radio was filled with kind of these kind of songs. So Soundgarden decided, you know, we'll do our own version of that, and my God, it blows away the competition in ways you don't even know. And here we are, the final song in our show today. And this is from the EP Satan Oscillate, My Metallic Sonatas, or SOMAS. And it was a Black Sabbath cup. Soundgarden had no misgivings about loving their influences, and in fact recorded a truckload of covers, including Beatles songs. So there you go. And they decided to make this thing interesting. Chief Joseph Seattle, which was also known as Seth, there, if you've been to Seattle, been around the neighborhoods, you see his statues and his influence, especially concerning the ecological movement of decades, centuries, literally, before it became a thing here and it's really needed to be heard. They took the song Into the Void by Black Sabbath and changed the lyrics to Chief Joseph's poetry. And my God, it is just amazing. If you have questions, feedback, love letters, and requests are always welcome. Please drop us a line at www.aceofspadespdx.com by Blueberry, or drop me a line at daddybenbear@gmail.com. Love to you all, and congratulations, Soundgarden, for the nod. You know what? Maybe you'll end up like the MC5. You know, decades, they don't, people, you know, don't make the ballot, don't make the nomination, don't make the induction. Who hell the hair cares? There are people out there who know how just loved you are. This is Into the Void, Seth from 1991's Satan Oscillate, My Metallic Sonatas, and love to you all.